Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, you're listening to the Broken But Glorious podcast. And here's your host, Chris Lappin.
Hello and welcome to Broken But Glorious. I'm Chris Lappin. I'm delighted to be joined on the line by the producer of Retro Wave Wrestling, Jason Rhodes. How you doing this evening, Jason?
How you doing, man? I'm good, thank you.
So huge thanks for joining us this evening. So before we get into Retro Wave Wrestling, I reckon we just do a quick recap of the last time you were on
for
the
listeners. Yeah, sure thing, Chris.
How did you first get into the business?
Well, I guess it was about 4 years ago. I was running a sandwich company at the time, and I visited my tattooist, and he said, "Just bring double. I'm tattooing a wrestler today." So in I go with his order, and then his order twice for the wrestler, and I met the Bulk. Mike Waters, as he's lesser known as, and we got chatting. We got on really well, and he invited me to Fallen Star Wrestling to try out. He could see something in me. I don't know what, but I went down to Fallen Star Wrestling, had a go with the stick, the microphone, and the story started there. The rest is history, as they say.
So did you get into it wanting to just be an announcer, or did you have any ambitions of getting into the ring?
Well, I mean, my back's not as good as it used to be. I mean, I'm closer to 40 than I am 25, you know? So it's a young man's game, wrestling, isn't it, boy? It's a young man's game. Now I've been involved, I'd probably like to work a match as a little bucket list thing, but it's not very high on the agenda. And, you know, the guys who are in the ring wrestling, who I'm very lucky to have the pleasure of announcing their names and stipulations in the matches. But these guys, they put it all out there, you know, they risk their life and limb every time they enter the ring. And I kind of feel it would be a little bit disrespectful if I just went in with, like, no real training. And also, I'm a little bit lazy where it comes to being athletic. So I don't think that I could put in the 4 or 5 days a week training and the dedication to having awesome cardio. I mean, my cardio is not too bad. I'm in pretty good shape at the moment. But at the time, when I first got into wrestling, I was really out of shape. I was knocking on 20 stone's door. And I joined in on the opening training session, and I gassed out in like 5-10 minutes. I was ruined. I was absolutely ruined. So to answer your question, at the time, no. I was going to be quite happy just announcing. After the journey that I've been on and the places that I've worked, and the amount of heat that I've got when I've worked heel in some places, that makes me think, yeah, I'd love to do a match, but would I actually do it? Probably not, because like I said, the guys who actually wrestle leave it all in the ring and put their life on the line every time they step into the squared circle. So as a mark of respect, I probably shouldn't.
Well, you're never too old, because I interviewed Mark Davis a couple of weeks ago and he didn't start training until he was 34.
Oh wow, well I've got 3 years on him, so
Mr. Williams, I interviewed but similar time to the last time I interviewed you, and he didn't start training until he was 36.
Oh, okay, so he's a bit closer. It's like there's a difference there. I mean, never say never. That's one thing that I've definitely learned about the entertainment business, whether it's music or drama, like acting on stage or wrestling, like never say never. I mean, some crazy things happen and you think, oh, I'm never going to work there ever again. But like there's weird twist of fate that happened throughout life, isn't there? So do you know?
I guess you put in the ring with the right person, they'll be able to walk you through a decent match. So,
well, you know, like I said, never say never.
All right, so where did the name and character of the Mullet Man, Jason Santiago, come from?
Well, I was talking to a friend of mine a few weeks ago about this. I was down in Essex seeing a very good friend of mine, Matt Flavin, a huge wrestling fan, got the most awesome collection of Hasbros you've ever seen. Like, his girlfriend thinks he's insane. I probably agree with her a little bit. But we were talking about Santiago, because, I mean, it's a character that I play. It's a version of me that really is turned up to 11, kind of like a car salesman. Do you know, it's kind of like he's a car salesman who moonlights as a porn producer or something. That's Santiago. That's that character. And I was talking to him, and he said, I was like, man, I think I'm a little bit bored with Santiago. It's getting a bit stale. It's getting a bit done. I've been doing it for 4 years. And he said to me, no, you ain't. I was like, excuse me. He goes, no, you ain't. You've been doing it for 10 years because I booked you in a stand-up show. And you use the name Jesus Santiago. And I was like, oh my God, I was so obnoxious when I was 25. So I've been doing, I guess I was 27, but like I've been working this character in different guises for 10 years now. So, you know, maybe it's time to kill him off. I don't know. I've already said too much.
Well, right, so the name of the show of Retro Wave Wrestling is called Three Idiots and a Time Machine.
That's correct.
For the talk in Norwich on the 15th of March.
So I just remembered we didn't put the actual time on the bloody poster. Right. So you can tell it's the first time I've promoted a show. But it's 4 o'clock doors, Three Idiots and a Time Machine at the Talk Nightclub on Oak Street in Norwich. We've got a pre-show at about 4:30, where we've got the Bloodshake Chorus. They're going to do like a tasty 15 minutes, some of their greatest hits. And then we've got Nelson T. Gombakumba Jr., who is an absolutely wonderful stand-up comedian from Zimbabwe. He lives in Norwich now. He's done stuff on TV, and he's a bit of a local comedy face around here. So we're delighted to have both the Bloodshake Chorus and Nelson T Jr. And then the main show starts at 5. So Three Idiots and a Time Machine. What would you like to know?
Firstly, why did you decide to start a promotion? How did it come about? So where did the name come? Well, we'll start with first.
I was toying with the idea. It was the day before one of the biggest UK indie shows last year. I live in Norwich, and Norwich is known for WAW. Massive shout out to the fantastic guys and girls at WAW.
Show we had at Carrow Road.
Yeah, so it was the day before that, and I was with my very good friend and co-producer of the show, Good Times, David Miles. He's also a wrestler, and he could see I was a little bit down. I was a little bit glum. And, you know, we went out for some lunch, and he was trying to cheer me up, and the sun was shining. And normally I'm such a like bundle of, you know, positive energy that he was like, dude, what's up with you? And I was like, oh, I don't know, man. I'm just in a bit of a funk. So we started chatting wrestling, and he was trying to cheer me up. And he said to me, right, well, what would your wrestling show be if like there was no limitations? And I remember exactly where we were. We were just off Norwich Market, walking back to my place. And I said to him, it would be like a time machine. It would be kind of like a 1980s wrestling promotion, you know. And he said, what would you call it? And in a heartbeat, I said Retro Wave Wrestling. And I'm a big fan of synthesizer music, and I'm a big fan of hip hop and like electronic music in general, really. And something I've been really getting into over a few years was a genre of music called New Retro Wave. And it's basically like computer game music mixed with Blade Runner. It really captured my imagination. So we ended up back at my flat, and we were like, okay, well, let's book tomorrow's show at WAW as if money was no object. And we booked some crazy stuff. We were like, yeah, let's get Moxley in. Like, he's just left WWE. We'll have him in the main event. I can't remember who we put him up against, but we were just using the creme de la creme of indie wrestlers and just like, let's have some fun with this. Because the guy was trying to cheer me up. Like I said, I was in a funk. And we finished booking that show, and he was like, So what about this retro wave thing you were talking about? And we sat down and I said, I'd only really want to book friends. And we sat there and we booked a show of like kind of what I'd like to see in a wrestling show. And I said to him, I want a live band, like in Lucha Underground, where they've got a live band and people come out and they've got, you know, unique entrance music played each week.
Yeah.
So he was like, oh, who would you use? I was like, oh, I don't know. Maybe the Bloodshed Chorus, like kind of just like kind of playing along. And we ended up booking this whole show. And it's totally different to what we're, well, I wouldn't say totally different, but it's like 30% the same.
Yeah.
The show certainly evolved. And, you know, there's a lot of things that have gone out the window. And then I said, right, okay, well, where are we gonna do this show? You know, I kind of like to, if there's a good idea, I'll run with it, you know, and see how far we can get in a day. And we started looking at venues on Google. And I was like, oh, there's a little 80s club called The Talk. It's only down the road. Let's go. Let's go and check it out. Let's see if anyone's there. And we went down there and we said hello to the people there, Vicky. Shout out to Vicky at The Talk. And we took a load of photographs and all of a sudden this idea had legs. And then I put it on the shelf for a month or two.
Yeah.
Just because, you know, life gets in the way of living and all that. And after I left a promotion up north and I had a lot of time all of a sudden on my hands because, you know, that promotion I was putting a lot in, like, video-wise, storyline. Yeah. And I was like, well, I've got all this time and energy to use. Let's really see if we can do it. Let's really see if we can do retro wave wrestling. And that's been me since July, August, I guess. Like, end of July is when we really hit the gas and we're like, right, we're going to do this. And, you know, it's things like getting the money together to pay for the venue. So, you know, and like getting in touch with people and seeing if they'd be interested, figuring out like logos and what we wanted to do with the show. Because, I mean, like I said, it's very much changed from the original idea. I mean, the original idea was to have like 3 or 4 episodes of a sitcom leading up to the show.
Yeah,
I'm ambitious to my detriment sometimes.
Yes.
And tries, we recorded a load of stuff, realized the sound wasn't good enough, tried getting more stuff in the can, and it turned into a bit of an uphill challenge. And it reached a point where Chainsaw, my co-commentator on Santiago Sundays, housemate and before mentioned tattooist, he said to me, dude, I know that you're trying to do something really awesome here, but like, let's just focus on the show. Let's get the show really, really great. And if we get another bite at the cherry, then let's do the sitcom second time round when we've got a bit more experience and we know what we're doing a little bit more. It's hard work trying to put a promotion and a show together. Like, shout out to all the promoters that I've worked for that I thought were dickheads because, like, you know, ain't got your proverbial together. But, like, I kind of empathize with them a little bit more now because there's so much to do. And the show that me and Good Times and Chainsaw have put together is so ambitious. I don't think anyone's done a show like this before. And maybe won't ever again. So, you know, it's a little bit beyond the realm of imagination, if I'm honest with you.
Yeah. So you mentioned that we're gonna have things like the less dancing, stand up, house band, drag acts. So it's going to be like a match and some dancing, then matching comedy, or is it?
Okay, so it's a comedy play.
Yeah.
That holds together a variety show. So it's kind of like the Muppets. Like, you remember the old show?
Yes.
Yeah. I'm basically Kermit the Frog for the evening. And I've got Gonzo as probably Good Times. And then I've got Animal, who is Chainsaw. controlling the time machine. And it's basically like the Muppet Show meets Back to the Future with a wrestling ring. That's how I kind of describe it. So Rich, or Chainsaw, I should say, he controls the time machine. And we use the time machine to bring out acts, celebrities, icons from pop culture history. So I don't want to give too much away, but I need to tell you some of what's going on. But like, the time machine is used to bring back Elvis Presley at one point. That's not announced. So there's a little one for your listeners there. You know, we've got a RoboCop versus Terminator match. So obviously, we need a time machine.
Retro robot rampage match.
So it's basically a weapons match, but no guns or thermal detonators. You know, is the rule on that one? Probably because we don't have any blasters or guns in this country, or thermal detonators. I know. It's a hardcore match with two of your favorite robots from pop culture history, basically. I'm really looking forward to that one. I've got two really great guys playing each character, and I'm expecting some fireworks in that match. I think that's going to be really fun.
I just need to have a call. Oh, God. All right, and then you've also got Ultra Subaru.
Ultra Superbo! Okay, so Ultra Superbo is a bastardized green Power Ranger.
Yes.
Like myself and Rich, Chainsaw, we had an ongoing gag, and it's kind of that is the stimulus for a lot of the show. It's similar but legally distinct from Rich plays my attorney on Santiago Sundays, and he kind of plays my attorney in this show as well. It's kind of like, have you seen Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas?
Yes, not for
a
long.
It's like the Dr. Gonzo, Raoul Duke kind of, you know, he's got his attorney going around with him. And I guess I'm Hunter S. Thompson kind of character. And he keeps me from getting into too much trouble. But one of the reoccurring catchphrases was similar but legally distinct from. So it's not RoboCop exactly. It's RobertCop, an English cyborg Bobby. You know, so from the Metropolitan OCP, and Terminator is T1WD40. You know, there's lots of little silly little gags in each match as well. Ultra Superbo is a Power Ranger basically, but we're gonna make his ring attire, like when he comes out to the ring, a little bit more like Usain von der Liger.
Yeah,
like loads of big spiky bits of like body armor with an awesome superhero kind of cape. Because like when I used to watch like WCW in the 90s, and occasionally they'd get like the Japanese or the Mexican guys in, and they would be like genuine superheroes. And like, I loved comics when I was in adolescence, absolutely loved comics. And these wrestlers reminded me of comic superheroes. And the match that I want to put on, it's a cruiserweight match. It's the opening match. It's going to be lots of springing and flipping. And it's a Power Ranger versus a Kung Fu vampire. I mean, what more? You want like 5 o'clock on a Sunday afternoon, you know?
Sounds amazing.
But it's similar but legally distinct from a Power Ranger. I don't want to end up in trouble with Bandai or Saban or whoever the company are that own them. Is it Saban Entertainment? It's something like that, isn't it?
Yeah.
Bandai Mates, boys. I'm showing how much of a geek I am now.
So what are you hoping the fan experience is going to be like a retro wave event?
Well, I hope that people come along and they're coming for either the drag race or they're coming for the wrestling, and they go away thinking, wow, I really enjoyed that segment, but I didn't think I would. And I really want people to have a good time, and it's all raising money for charity. So it's kind of get a bit more awareness for the MS Society and the East Anglian Air Ambulance.
Yes.
They're two charities that are quite close to my heart. And, you know, when we started putting the show together and thinking, right, how much are we going to have to make tickets? And I was like, this is going to be an expensive show. And we were like, right, well, it's got to be about 20 quid. And we started to think, well, this is a pretty expensive ticket, so why don't we get some charities involved and raise the money for them? And as things went further and further along, it turned into something for me where I was like, I really want to give something back, because wrestling and performing arts has been so fantastic to my life, and especially wrestling over the last few years. It was like, okay, well, let's try and self-finance this as much as we can and just do something great, you know. And people have looked at me as if I've lost my marbles. But all of my wrestling lot, all my wrestling pals are saying, you do realize that you're going to lose money on this show. You do realize you're not even going to break even. And I was like, I'm sick of kind of hearing that. So yeah, why don't we do it all for charity? And then I know that I'm losing money. I know that it's going to cost me to do this. And I don't give a, what's the name? You know, I don't give a fuck. It's like, this is my magnum opus. This is something that I've thrown everything I've got at. And I don't care that I'm losing money doing it, because this has been my life for the last 6-7 months. And it's been a real journey. I mean, I've had to learn how to do so many things, and I feel like I've really improved as a human being while doing it. I mean, my housemates might, you know, disagree. Some days they've probably been really pissed off at me. I mean, I've taken over the kitchen. I've got a mannequin in here, and this is where my little workshop is that I'm working on all the costumes.
Yeah.
But I think that no one's really said anything, because I think they can tell how much it means to me and how important it is. And, you know, knowing that I'm not financially benefiting from this in any way, but knowing that it's making me happy, feeling that I'm doing something really good for the community and something really good for myself. You know, it's like, it's good to set yourself tasks. It's good to set yourself challenges. And, you know, especially if you've got a lot of creative energy and find it difficult to harness it sometimes. Like, this has been probably the best thing that I've ever done in my life, you know. And it's like, I really want to share it with as many people as possible. So I tell you what, Chris, seems though your lovely listeners have been listening to me go on a little bit of a monologue for the last 7 minutes or so. Let's give some tickets away to your lovely listeners. I'll give you 4 tickets to give away in a little gimmick for your lovely listeners out there.
Oh, amazing. Thank you.
I don't know how you want to give them away. That's kind of your prerogative, but yeah, let's try and do something really good. You know,
that's the mission. I think brilliant. I'll have a thing. So you've got yourself a bit of a very interesting roster. So you've got like Gene Money and Bill Eva and Leonardo Darwin and Big Joe and Wing Commander Nash. So.
Yeah.
Can you tell us how you're going to be using these guys on the show, or is it just going to be a surprise?
It's kind of a surprise. I mean, you know, they're up the top of the poster for a reason. I mean, Bill Eber, Gene Money, and, you know, they're main event guys in my eyes. They're people that I thoroughly enjoyed working with, and lovely chaps, you know. And I was like, if I could pick anyone for a main event, then they're definitely be in the equation. Same with Darwin. I mean, I think Darwin is the most underrated heel in the country. He's so bloody good. He's awesome.
Somebody I really want to see live. I've seen videos of him. He's such a character.
There's about 3 people that I've worked with that can generate as much heat as Darwin. You know, like, his heat is incredible, like such hostility from the crowd. It's glorious. It's so glorious. You know, I'm a mark for heels. You know, I love a good heel. So I'm a big fan of Darwin, and, you know, he's main event quality. And then we got like Big F and Joe. I mean, he's the king of UK deathmatch at the moment. And excuse me. We've literally driven hundreds of miles up and down the road together over the last few years, and like to see his star really rise, excuse the pun, and, you know, really make waves over in the States, and to have him on my show again, I'm absolutely delighted. I mean, all the people, all these people are my friends, you know. It's kind of one of the sticking points on Are You Getting Booked? It's like, are you my friend? there's only a handful of people that I don't know on a close basis, you know, and hopefully I will do the show. Yeah, everyone who's being booked is close friends, you know. They're good friends and good people and great wrestlers. They're really good wrestlers. I mean, Wing Commander Nash, I can't wait to see his match. But I mean, you've got five stars there, so maybe that should be the competition. Leave us a comment and tell us what you'd like to see as the main event out of Wildcard Believer, Gene Money, Big F and Joe, Darwin, Wing Commander Nash. There's five there, so there's a little bit of a like, ooh, you can only make two matches. Or can you? Ooh. Leave people guessing. That's the one, isn't it? Leave people in a little bit. You still there?
Yes.
For a second.
You just got me thinking of compositions.
yeah. There's a few possibilities.
All right, so where can people get tickets for the show?
Okay, so if you are a local of Norwich, then you can get tickets at our box office at Sif Tattoo Studio, which is our main partner. And check out some of the artists while you're here. Some of their work is the best in East Anglia, arguably the country. You can also get tickets on eventbrite.co.uk. There is a little booking fee on there that I can't really do anything about. Or you can get in touch with Retro Wave Wrestling directly on retrowavewrestling@gmail.com. And we can sort out PayPal or something if that's more convenient for y'all.
I'll put all the details in the description below. So, do you have any social media you want to promote?
Most of the stuff that we're doing is on Facebook. We do have a Twitter page. It's my former Santiago Twitter handle.
Yes.
But yeah, Retro Wave Wrestling at Mullet Man 1982. I don't really like Twitter very much. I find it a really negative place. And but. If you want to get hold of me, I will respond to DMs on there or tweets or whatever. And there is a YouTube channel, and I'd really need to update it because I have got loads more footage and vignettes that are all on the Facebook page. I mean, that's probably where we're most active.
your cousin Dale video was hilarious.
Oh, Dale. Oh my goodness, I don't know what he's letting himself in for. Not me, that's definitely my cousin who entered himself into the drag race. So I think he's got a bit confused when we said transvestites, he heard trans ams.
Yes. So,
yeah, let's see what happens with that one. But we've also got a burlesque dancer, we've got the lovely Velvet Presley, she'll be performing as well. Emma Hartley, who's a hot up and coming stand-up in Norwich. I worked with her in a comedy workshop late last year, and I think she's got the potential to do something really cool in British comedy. What else we got going on? There's loads going on. The music of the Bloodshed Chorus, obviously.
Drag Race.
We didn't talk about the Yarmouth Creature. That's basically Cthulhu, so a sea monster from another planet.
Ordering a pint.
I'm so excited for that match. So he's facing the Voodoo Queen. Sorry, I'm meant to be doing all the plugs, aren't I? If you can, you lovely people out there, please show your support to the MS Society and the East Anglian Air Ambulance, two really underfunded charities. And that's what we're doing this for. It's all to raise more awareness and raise some money for them. Also a shout out to WrestleLine, Turnbuckle TV, The Rage Rooms, and a special thanks to WAW, who, you know, have kind of let me get on and do this. You know, I mean, Norwich is their territory, and I massively respect the Knight family. They're absolutely really lovely people. And thank you for letting us do this.
Oh, amazing. Is there anything else you want to talk about before we go?
I've got a really nice chicken stew on the go with dumplings. I'm going to get off this interview. I'm going to wuss it down. It's going to be delicious.
Well, I'll put links to everything in the description below the interview. So I really enjoy speaking to you again. I hope it's not 2 years before we speak again.
There is one thing I forgot to mention. I forgot to mention the wonderful music of Turbo Knight. He's a Finnish retrowave producer, and he's let us use a lot of his music for the vignettes. We've also got robots and Power Rangers coming out to his music. Fortunately, we didn't have the budget to fly him over, but hopefully next year we will. But huge shout out to Turbo Knight. Check out his music on Spotify, on YouTube, and I think you'll love it. There's an album called Navigators that I've written a lot of this show while listening to that album. So shout out to Turbo Knight.
Yeah, I'll put a link to his profile in the description.
And then, yeah, please do. He's really cool as well. Really nice guy. Really nice guy.